Your package says delivered, but delivered where exactly? The hallway? The lobby? Your neighbor's apartment? Instead of playing detective with your deliveries, get a mailbox at the UPS store. We'll sign for your packages, text you when they arrive, and keep your deliveries low-key under lock and key. Get 3 months free mailbox services with a new annual agreement at the UPS store. For full details and to get your coupon, visit the upsstore.com/offer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, the pistol players, the hustlers, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. It's the Wicked Wednesday. Pete Shepard will step up and in a couple of moments time. We'll get into the NBA Finals and more with Pete. So it's a big story I saw. There's always something in today's day and age. Everybody freaks out about everything. And, oh, my God, I can't even believe this story at all. So the latest one tonight is Vince McMahon. The internet really is blowing up here, though. The internet really is blowing up. All right, what I find more interesting about this Vince McMahon stuff tonight, and not even the Vince McMahon stuff, is, and I don't know if anyone can confirm this, but Sasha Banks has reportedly been released by the WWE. I don't know if anybody can confirm this, but this would be massive news if she was, actually. Now, the story about the deal is here. Vince McMahon is being investigated by the WWE board after allegedly a $3 million payment to a woman that he had an affair with and to keep secret. All right, Vince McMahon is under investigation for an alleged $3 million settlement with a former WWE employee with whom he had an affair. According to a report from the Wall Street Journal, which cites people familiar with the WWE's board inquiry, the departing employee and McMahon had a consensual sexual relationship, leading to the creation of a January 22 separation agreement. It doesn't allow the ex-WWE employee to discuss her relationship with McMahon and prevents her from disparaging him. The investigation of the large payment started in April and led to discovery of other non-disclosure agreements signed by former female WWE employees related to wrongdoing by Vince McMahon as well as WWE head of talent, John Laurinaitis. So, basically, I'm thinking here, what business of this is ours? Do you care? This is between him and Linda McMahon. Seriously. So, if Vince McMahon, and, the key word was consensual, right? The key word was consensual. So, what's the story here? Yeah, this is a big-time story right now. It's a big-time story. It's everywhere. All I did is punch in WWE, Bleacher Report, Vince McMahon investigated by WWE over a $3 million settlement, TMZ, Vince McMahon being investigated. Deadspin, Vince McMahon had sexual relationship with WWE staffer, paid $3 million in hush money, I like how they put it. Bloomberg News, WWE probes $3 million payment from Vince McMahon to female employee. And you'd think, well, whatever, man, it's Vince McMahon. I mean, this guy had, this guy, JR gave birth to an Oklahoma Sooner helmet on TV. You know what Vince's problem is? You go public, your life becomes public. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pistol players, the hustlers, the people of Bustlam, and everybody else in between. All right, it's championship week, but what's the deal with this? Is this true? Sasha Banks, free agent? Sasha Banks has been released by the WWE? That's the internet chatter right now in the late night hours. And obviously there's other internet chatter going on as far as the WWE is concerned. But it is championship week. And this is a family program. So Stanley Cup Finals tonight. All the stats are now with Colorado guys. Teams that win game one, going back to 1939 when they sort of started really keeping records of, you know, track the Stanley Cup records. Modern stat, modern era, 1939. Teams that win game one win the Stanley Cup 75% of the time. Teams that win game one in overtime win 76% of the time. So if you're Colorado, you put yourself in a pretty good position. But we will say that you are playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have been, this is who they are. This is what they do. The Tampa Bay Lightning have played in four playoff series so far this year. Obviously, this being the fourth. They've only won once in game one. They've only won once. Andre Vasilevsky, goaltender of the Tampa Bay Lightning. In game one of the playoffs this year, in four game ones, he has a 1-3 record with a 3.99 goals against average. His save percentage is a pedestrian 884. Those are Edmonton Oilers goalie numbers. Games 2-7 in the playoffs, Andre Vasilevsky has an 11-3 record with a 1.90 goals against average and a .939 save percentage. Those are Hall of Fame numbers. There's a lot of hockey left to be played in this series. All right, there's a lot of hockey left to be played. Colorado have been dropped right now as a minus 270 favorite. We're waiting on some series spread numbers here right now. Listen, if we can get the Tampa Bay Lightning at +2.5 at a reasonable price, man, I'm going to be all over that like fat kids on Smarties. Oprah on a baked ham. Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wicked Wednesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between as we throw it down. Sirius XM channel 159, a mightier 1090 ESPN radio. It is championship week. Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals, U.S. Open Golf Championships in Boston as well. When we talk Boston sports, we often talk with Bob Ryan, and Bob Ryan was scheduled to be with us tonight, but there was a scheduling conflict, so Pete Shepard replaces Bob Ryan. Big shoes to fill, Pete, but Pete steps up at him from ESPN Southwest Florida, 98.1 FM, 104.3 FM, 770 AM, and more and more and more. What's going on, Pete Shepard? How you doing, Pete?
Oh, my God. Big hugs and Italian double-cheek kisses to you, my friend. I miss you. When the hell are you coming down here to do your show from down here? Come on, man.
Well, you know what? One of these days, we do have to return to Florida. Got to figure there's a Super Bowl or some sort of, you know, big event. Eventually, the West Coast is where it's at right now, man. Super Bowl coming up in Arizona. Super Bowl in Las Vegas. National championship game at SoFi Stadium. There's a lot of stuff going on the West Coast, Pete.
No, absolutely. But also, I love Bob Ryan to death. I've worked with him many times. He is one of my idols. Can I tell you a funny story real quick?
Yeah, bring it on.
One of my first years in radio, and I'm covering the Red Sox in 87 or 88, and Jack Clark, the a-hole that he was. Am I allowed to swear on your show? I can't forget.
No. Okay. No, we're like your affiliate here. No, we can't.
Jack Clark struck out amongst his 8,000 cars, which he couldn't afford, about eight or nine times in a row. And I said to him, and I was a young 21-year-old in a locker room, and I said, "Hey," I said, "is there any chance you're standing too far away from the plate?" And he just laid into me, blah, blah, blah. And Bob Ryan put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Don't worry about it, kid. He's in, you know, so-and-so anyway. Don't worry about it."
So that's your Bob. That's so you knew you were okay. That was like, you know.
Well, yeah. I worked with Bob many times. And Bob is one of the best. But it's past his bedtime. anyway.
I'm going to tell him you said that. Next time.
Well, he knows.
Yeah. Next time he judges.
I mean, with all due respect and love, trust me.
Now listen, your Boston connections run deep here, Pete, because I'm on your Twitter page, and somehow, because I'm on your Twitter page, says I might like WEEI as well. Like, you know when it has, like, suggestive follows of Twitter? I don't know, between you, Bob Ryan, maybe I've been on too many Boston Twitter accounts lately, but it's good to catch up with you, and I do a weekly hit with Pete during the football season where we give picks with Pete on ESPN Southwest Florida, and it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, championship week this week, and we'll get to even the U.S. Open in your former backyard, but as far as the NBA Finals are concerned, listen, the Celtics, they never lost back-to-back games in the entire playoffs, and they had covered a spread every time, 7-0 straight up, 7-0 against the spread. They finally lose back-to-back games. Has the momentum swung too much to turn things back right now, in your opinion? Or do you feel okay as a Boston Celtic fan going back to Boston right now?
Look, I honest to God, I've always tried to be not the fanboy. I'm trying to be objective here and everything else. And it's really simple. All these so-called experts on ESPN and NBA TV and blah, 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 they're trying to – it's really simple. Look at the box score after tomorrow night's game. If it says the Celtics turn the ball over less than 14 times, I promise you, they won. They probably won by double digits, not even 14. It's really kind of been that simple. Yeah, I know Tatum looked a bit gassy overnight. There's no question about that. I get that. But I've been saying it all week, Gabriel, on what we were doing, on what the Celtics were doing. Unforced turnovers related to tennis. Imagine Serena or Venus, just or whatever. I don't care.
Unforced errors.
Unforced errors, hitting the ball back into the – I mean, I don't mind getting – I don't mind turnover. I don't mind hard fouls. I don't mind all that crap, okay? Don't give the freaking ball away. Tatum on one leg trying to throw the ball away. They have given the ball away the last game, 18 points for 22 – 18 turnovers for 22 points. The other loss before that was, 19 turnovers for, 28 points. That cannot happen. You can't do that on any level of basketball. You will lose. I don't care how good or bad you are. So I don't think they're going to keep up that pace tomorrow night. I also think, two nights ago when they lost, or last night when they lost, you can't. Yeah, they were 7-0 after losses, and they averaged winning by almost 16 points a game.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they win by 16 tomorrow night, but I think they cover the four, and I think they will rebound, and it's a game seven, and we'll see what happens. They won a really tough game six in Milwaukee, as you saw. They won game seven in Miami. This team is battle tested. They can't be stupid. Stop playing stupid basketball and unforced turnovers, and they'll be okay. And I know Steph is going to come back. Yes, we know Steph is going to come back and go from 0 for 9 and probably hit for 30-plus. And I understand that. I don't give a damn about that. I give a damn about unforced turnovers on defense. That cannot happen. If it does, they'll lose. If it doesn't, they'll win.
Pete Shepard kicking with us. I am Gable Morency. And, you know, I think you're speaking the truth. You're raging the truth right there. But at the same point in time, I always say this about teams. You kind of are, you know, like Parcells, Coach Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are. That was halfway through the season. So I don't see how they stop the bad habits now in game six of the NBA Finals, where it's like, okay, guys, suddenly we're not going to make these decisions. Suddenly we're not going to turn the ball over. That's like telling me or you to stop gambling, right? That's like saying, all right, guys, I'm going to stop drinking tomorrow.
but Gabe, they've been doing that all postseason. Look at the numbers.
I know. No back and forth. You're right.
Yeah. 16, they might give them that. Anybody who says they have a real total feel of the series, you are lying to yourself. And I know it's really easy to say, oh, look what Golden State. When the Celtics were 2-1, everybody's like, oh, they're going to get back. You know?
No, this is one of the weirdest series ever, Pete. And, you know, you said it earlier as far as all the daytime talk shows and everybody breaking it down and the analyst this and that. And if, you know what I mean? Yeah, because you always hear, well, they can't win if they don't get Klay Thompson. Well, they did win without Klay Thompson earlier. Like, the other one, would anyone ever predicted that that Andrew Wiggins and Steph Curry would be 0-for-15 from three, right? And that somehow they'd win by double digits. It's a strange series that's been defined by runs. I almost compare this to like a UFC fight where it's like Boston are winning the round, Pete, with the stand up, and they're punching him in the face, and there's a couple of nice kicks to the head and stuff, and they're winning the round. And then somehow, I don't know, like with like, you know, two minutes left in the round, Golden State score the takedown and like steal the round somehow. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I find that Boston are probably technically they're the better skilled team. I just think Golden State are psychologically and mentally tougher than the Celtics are.
Well, I mean, they definitely have more of the experience, so we understand that, and I totally respect that opinion by you and others, and I get that. I just can't see how they're going to lose back-to-back games. The reason why they're a four-point favorite, because Vegas thinks they're not going to lose back-to-back games, besides this last game, they've won after a loss by almost 16 points a game. I'm not saying they win by 16. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to force a game seven. I think this team is mentally tough. I think Tatum is ready, even though he had 27, and it was kind of a quiet 27, and I understand that. It just was, you know, you cannot have your three big-time ball handlers, and Marcus Smart, and Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, out of the 18 turnovers, they cannot turn it over 13 of those 18 times. They're going to lose. I mean, we've seen it before, and I can't believe, Gabe, in my heart of hearts, that's going to happen again. I just cannot see it, especially at home with a hostile crowd. Not that Golden State can't do it. I'm not saying it. The beginning of the series on our station, all I said was it's going seven games. I said the same thing about the Miami series. I didn't pick a winner. I said it's going seven games. By the way, the Red Sox are 11-2 in the last 13. They're
You're damn right. Ever since I bet on the Red Sox to make the playoffs, they've lost twice. All right, hold on, Pete. Boy, we've got to love the passion. Say what you will about the Bostonians and the Boston sports teams. You got to love the heat they bring. Lightning and Anger Match for Cross continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wicked Wednesday continues. This is Sports Rage. Pete Shepard in the house, ESPN Southwest Florida. So Pete's getting fired up tonight. He believes the Boston Celtics can extend this thing to seven games. So let me ask you, Pete, as we throw it down on SiriusXM Channel 159, a Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, and shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Some people are telling me, well, listen, it's Father's Day. The NBA wants seven games, that they just believe in the conspiracy theory somehow that it's going to help the Boston Celtics to the finish line. I don't know if I'm really buying into that, but let me ask you. I've seen a lot of Celtic people complaining about the officiating in this series, and I don't really see it. Yeah, there's been a flop here and a dive there, but I don't really see one team getting screwed over more than another team in this series in a very poignant matter. What's your take on the officiating? Are you one of the Bostonian crew that's losing it about the officials all the time?
Okay, let me tell you something. I'm giving the Italian double kiss again, okay? Because you know my real last name is an Italian from Italian Instrument Shepherd. You can be your fans and go figure it out. Let me tell you something. Any numbnut out there that's complaining about the officiating, you're delusional. This team, and I'm talking about the Celtics, shot 16 more free throws, right, last game, than the Golden State Warriors. Guess what they did? They missed 10 more. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Stop flopping. You know, Marcus Smart, that one play on Poole, he might have been able to sell it if it didn't like feel like he was shot out of a cannon. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. If anybody who's a Celtics fan complaining about the officiating, they had 16 more free throws, Gabriel, on the road,
and they made a lot 10. Of the stuff.
I don't want to hear the nonsense.
I know. I totally agree. I've told people a lot of stuff, too. And it's like, wow, they said, what about the early fouls on Boston early? They're committing the fouls. And it's the one thing, and it's why I like Golden State in the series, that it's just a little edge they have, I find. You know, like, look at Grant Williams. He falls for it all the time, bro. Like, you mouth off to him, you bump into him, he'll bump into you. How many just careless, casual, just, why did you do that fouls as Jason Tatum done at midcourt? Or Smart will just run someone over, bump into someone when it's almost like taking a penalty in the offensive zone. You were talking about the unforced errors. The Celtics take a lot of unneeded fouls on themselves that aren't the ref's fault.
No, I totally agree. And let me tell you something. I really believe in my heart of hearts they're going to clean this up. I don't know what's going to happen in Game 7. I will be stunned if they don't win on Thursday night. I really
do you
will.
Buy into the conspiracy theory just a little bit that the refs will be on the Celtics' side?
No. I think that's been going. You know this, Gabe. That's been going on for 40 years. And the conspiracy, the NBA wants this, the NBA wants that. How is the NBA going to tell you that Marcus Smart and Tatum and Brown can cause 13 turnovers by being stupid? You know what? You know that scene in Maverick, you know, or first Top Gun. Remember when Goose says the defense department, you know, regrets informing you that you know, your sons are dead because they were stupid. I mean, that's what it is. It's stupid. I mean, I can't believe they're going to play that stupid two games in a row. They have enough talent when they are deep and they are healthy and everybody is at equal length. The Celtics are a little bit, not a lot, they are a little bit of a better team. They outscored them in the paint a couple games ago, 52-26. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but it should be very close. They are bigger, they have more depth, and they have a tiny bit more talent. What Golden State does, as we all know, they have the experience. They've been here. Not that the Celtics aren't battle-tested, because believe you me, damn it, man, they are. They are battle-tested. May not be finals battle-tested, but they have been through hell, and they certainly have been through it in this series, and if they lose tomorrow night, that is it's going to be one of the most disappointing nights. I'm 55 years old. I will be as disgusted as any New England fan on the planet. I respect Golden State immensely. But I cannot see the Celtics losing back-to-back games and turning the ball over more than 16 times tomorrow night. I just don't see it.
Pete Shepard, I'm amazed you've gotten through without, like, dropping an F-bomb or two. You're getting, like, I just feel it. I love how you admit I'm 55 and they better not lose. Like, this is, that's all. I love what Steph Curry, I don't know if you saw Curry's interview, where he said, he goes, I love it. They said, what about the hostility in Boston? He goes, there should be. It's the finals. And he said, I like playing for something when I know how much it means to other people and the cities. And he goes, this is what we play for. And I remember, man, like, you know, people get heated up, man. I said some things I'm not proud of during that Raptor Warrior series, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know what? Yeah, but
it'll happen.
You're old school like I am. This is not Celtics Warriors thing. It's like, please, let's go. Well, I mean, you know, let's go back to the Celtics 76ers, Celtics Lakers, Pistons, all that stuff. This is tiddlywinks. This is kiddlywinks.
No, this is like pickup ball compared to what you're right. Like, compared to your old days. Yeah.
Mikhail Clothesline Rambis wasn't even a foul. Mikhail and, Parrish and Lambert. Bam, bam. They're fighting. They're throwing punches. Nobody got thrown out of the game. I don't even know if there was a foul call. It is unbelievable. Like, we have come to the wussification of basketball.
Hey.
And unfortunately, the flopping has taken, it's equal soccer now. Or, sorry, football.
I tweeted out the picture to retweeted. It was the Boston Bruins. And McNabb and Milbury and company.
Yeah.
When they went over the stands at MSG and started beating the crap out of people with a shoe.
Rightly so. The Rangers are beating the crap out of them. O'Reilly goes over. Milbury goes over. Beats them up with a shoe, and I don't think very many people got suspended after that game.
No, no one was arrested, no one sued, no one did anything. So I'm like, okay, all right, that was a fun. And you know what? Everyone went back to the bar. The fans, man, that was crazy. And the Bruins got a big laugh. You said, and I said the other day too, because, you know, Nazem Kadri went through what he went through and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah,
when he got the hat trick, he waved. All right, he waved at the Blues fans.
Yeah.
sides. And Ron McLean, during the broadcast, he really shouldn't have done that. You know, you shouldn't wave. And I'm thinking, wave? In the old days, like, coaches used to climb over the glass and beat fans up with the shoe and everyone would laugh. I actually said it today. I said it today, and a lot of younger people were like, oh, that's the worst take ever. I said the Malice at the Palace might be the most overrated sports story in the history of the world. If we actually analyze what happened, Artest swung at a guy and missed. A fat guy fell over Pete courtside. Jermaine O'Neal came flying in and sort of hit someone. No one got hurt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing happened. It was a bunch of fat guys swinging and basketball players swinging and missing. It was a big nothing burger.
No, I hear you. Just at the time, and I remember that, I was a little bit of wow that night. I totally hear it. How about John Wentz standing in front of the whole Minnesota North Star bench going, yeah, come on out.
Exactly.
Everyone, he sat in front of the bench.
One thing I'll say about the Palace, though, and the Malice and stuff is I'm not making light of it because, as you talked about in soccer, it's happened a couple of times in the last couple of weeks even. It doesn't matter. Like, it's bad if the mob ends up on the court. Like, the players will get stampeded.
Yes.
Like, someone could die. Like, if it turns into, like, if a player really drops a fan pretty good and the fan goes down and a bunch of other fans say, F this, we're storming the court and we're going to attack the players, it can get ugly. So I don't encourage it at all, but I'm just saying, like, the Malice at the Palace, it's got a cute name and stuff, but Pales, like, they should do a 30 for 30 on Millbury.
You want to hear the saddest story of my life the last really 2 weeks, actually 1 week. You're going to cry when you hear this. So I'm at the Kelly Cup Finals, which is the ECHL, not the Stanley Cup and not the Calder Cup, the Kelly Cup. So I'm here in Southwest Florida, the Florida Everblades, coach by the great Brad Ralph.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, 7,700 people sold out, ECHL, Southwest Florida, by the way. Okay, not exactly. People wouldn't think the hockey mecca of the world. You would have loved it down here, loved it. So they're in game five. Anyway, before that, The Belmont's going on, so I go on my little page that I do my little shekels, which you know.
And
I got it in at 640. I put 632. I got the trifecta. I was pretty confident I was going to hit it, you know, with Tippy Longstocking because of the stupid movie back in when I was a kid. And I liked the 6 and 3 and the 2 and the 2. And after the game, I didn't wear my reading glasses, being 55 years old, the old bleep that I am. And I realized I left the app open. I didn't hit send. So I caught myself on a $2 bet, $370. Not a huge deal, but it's one of those things where you go, what a bleeping.
You just
idiot,
feel stupid.
Man.
Yeah, you feel like I've been it. I listen.
You know, Craig
I've clicked the wrong side.
Everybody's, you know, making fun of me because I admit my mistakes. I'm not like these other idiot people on ESPN and NFL Network. I admit my mistakes.
We do it all the time.
I just share my life. Yeah.
We do. We double click things. I click the wrong side. Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, God.
I didn't realize I put 800 on that. I already. You know what happens often? I'll bet a game earlier today, and we do the TV show giving picks, and I get all excited, and I bet it again. I'm like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, I did it with the Dodgers today. I actually got all fired up. I did it with the Dodgers today. But listen, we got to get out of here, people. U.S. Open in your backyard. You have a pick of the country club. You used to be a member there, I hear. Is it true?
No, I was a member. One of my first jobs was Curtis Strange winning when they played 18 holes in the overtime.
I know you like to bet, though. Did you bet? Who are you taking in the U.S. Open?
I am taking John Rahm. I really am. It's a mini long shot, whatever. This course is so hard. I think -1 or -2 or even par is going to win it. That's how tough this course is.
Pete Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida. Follow him on Twitter at PSHEP326. Always a pleasure, Pete, my man. Say hi to Craig for me. Look forward to catching up with you down the road, my man.
Man, you are the absolute best. We are so proud of you and so happy for all that. I mean, you're on 8,000 outlets right now, so congratulations to you. Keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate the kind words, my man. Always a pleasure, Pete.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The Pistol Players, the Hustlers, the people that bust them. Great stuff with Pete Shepard. We'd have Pete on more, but, you know, he's got his own show on during the day. And, you know, it's a Boston thing. We had him on when the Patriots and the Bills were in the playoffs. And, you know, we'll bring Pete on. I liked his passion. He was all fired up. Like how he said, nah, I'm not a fanboy. And at the end, he's like, they better win. Says, they better win. Listen, we're going to be on tomorrow on these same radio stations, most of them at least. And, of course, Sirius XM Channel 159 and our TV affiliates and everything. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern until 9 o'clock, right up leading to the game. We're on 6 to 9 every night, and then we're back here at midnight Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific, 6 hours a day. So we'll have our final picks tomorrow, but I'm not changing my mind. I think Golden State win the series tomorrow. And just for the record, let's just recall back to last year when I was the only one in the world that basically said that Milwaukee were going to beat Phoenix before the series started. And I also said Milwaukee were going to win the series when they're down 2-0, if you recall. And I stand my ground now where I said before the series started, Golden State win this series in 6 games, plus 148. So you didn't have to listen to that bet. I did a video before the series started. I said Golden State, 6 games, plus 148. You can get them now, plus 142. I do believe that the tide has turned. I think the tide has turned. I don't think there's any turning back now. I think this is like a fight. This is like, like I said, I think, the UFC's analogies are good ones, I believe. It's simplified. I'm simplifying it for people. But this is like a 5-round fight. The Celtics were the contender. The Warriors are the champion. And, yeah, Boston's landed some nice shots, a couple of nice combos, maybe a nice kick to the head. Golden State keeps scoring takedowns late in the round. And as the fight's going on, they seem to be landing more takedowns. It's just more, you know what I mean? It's like, you're the Karate Kid, Boston. You guys are flashy and you're this and that, but we're going to find a way to beat you. You know, we know how the judges work. We're going to find a way to beat you. And to me, this is where we're at right now. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Listen, I got Golden State to win the series. I got two cracks at this thing. Most people, most of our guests and most people who come on our show would come in and say, well, listen, most of our guests aren't betting $1,200 on it, all right? but most of our guests would come on and say, well, I already have $2,000 coming back on this, so I'm clearly just going to hedge here. I don't do that. I don't roll like that. I doubled down. I'm betting on. I already have Golden State to win the series. I'm going to bet on tomorrow, and then you know what? If they don't win tomorrow, I'll hammer them on Sunday, and I'll win that game, and I'll win the series bet. But it ain't going 7. Like I've actually spoken to a lot of people this week, even basketball people, and I've been like, this is the last time I'm almost going to speak to you for a while. I've been saying goodbye to basketball guests. Unless you know anything about the draft, you can't help me next week or for the next couple of weeks. Like, I, you know what I mean? I guess NBA free agency, but unless you're a draft guy, like, we're gonna be, put it this way. I expect the NBA season to be over tomorrow night. I've already started planning it in my head. I'm like, yeah, the NBA will be over, and then, we'll move into football next week more. And right? Like, I don't think we're getting a Game 7 on Sunday. Either way, I think Golden State. Put it this way. There's a lot of every person that you listen talk about this. Every person that comes on our show, every person that goes on all the shows all day, on this network, on all the networks, everybody says the same thing. If Boston doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah, well, if I had hair, maybe I'd be in a shampoo commercial, but I don't and I'm not. If Boston doesn't create, so as I said, so here we are right now. They're about 97 games into their season, and yeah, they're going to stop turning the ball over now. But now they're going to get it. It's like teaching someone to wrestle like a day before they're fighting Brock Lesnar. You ever wrestled before? No, don't worry. We've got a day to get you ready. Right? Dude, they're not going to. So, if you really believe the Boston are still going to win the championship, do you really believe that the Boston Celtics can go 2 games without screwing up? Do you really believe they're going to go the next two games without turning the ball over, without choking, without going through their little episodes, and without just losing? Do you really think they're going to go the next two games? Do you think the Golden State Warriors really going to go the next two games without finishing this off? The Golden State Warriors already blew a 3-1 lead before in the NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors lost the last time they were in the NBA Finals in 2019 on their home floor in Game 6. They're going to return the favor. Except it's not to Toronto, it'll be to Boston. They're going to return the favor. They're not going to let Boston off the hook. Boston had their opportunity. Curry missed every shot he took. You still lost. You took twice as many free throws. You still lost. I think it comes to an end tomorrow. It's nothing against Boston. I have no smack talk to say anything. It's been a nice run. They're a good team. They don't have a point guard. They turn the ball over too much. They panic under pressure, and this is the ultimate pressure situation. And the only way Boston wins this is if somehow they smoke Golden State in two games. Like, where there's no pressure. Where it's like, yeah, look, we're up 30-2. You know what I mean? And we just got to coast now. You know what I mean? Like, unless they coast, any time you saw it. Dude, Jimmy Butler nearly beat them. Kyle Lowry. I love Kyle Lowry, but, you know, Kyle Lowry could have been mistaken for the Pillsbury Doughboy. Tyler Hero, I don't know who's Hero for who. For who? Your wardrobe, your tailor. Because you spent a lot of money on clothes, kid, I guess. I'll give you that. You want to be a starter. How about you're healthy enough to play, kid? You imagine this kid? I want to be a starter. Good for you. I want to hook up with Shakira. Everybody, if this happens and that happens. There's no ifs, okay? If. What is the word if? If ends and butts were candies and nuts, Santa Claus would be real. He's not real. Fake. Fake, fake, fake. Just like the Boston Celtics' chances of winning tomorrow. Fake. They're going down. They don't deal well with pressure. This is the ultimate pressure moment. They don't play well at home. Golden State sends blood in the water right now. Steve Kerr even told the team the other night after the game, we're going to Boston and we're going to finish this off. You know what I mean? It wasn't cocky. He just said, good job. We're going to finish this off on Thursday. I don't think Golden State are playing for like, oh, we have two cracks at this. Golden State have lost two times in the finals. They've been there five times. They've only won three. They know what it's like to lose. They know what it's like not to be intense on every possession. And for me as well, what I bring up here is, it's just a little thing, but I'm pretty good at sensing this stuff and the body language and the, like, so the Boston Celtics today at their shoot around, I get it. You guys were loose. They were cranking Cool in the Gang and they were cranking music and, you know, there was no serious practice, I guess. They were like, just, you know. To me, I don't like that. At this point, I'd be all serious. I wouldn't have any music to practice and stuff. Like, I don't know. Maybe I sound old school, but no. But not anymore. We're not playing the T-Wolves in February anymore. Like, just shut the music off. Shut the music off. I want your focus. Put your cell phones away. All right? Like, I don't... I mean, we're in the NBA Finals right now. Let's just... Everybody, like, zone in here. And... Jason Tatum, God bless him. And I don't say that this is someone is, you know what I mean? But I'm just sort of being the evil part of me right now. The ruthless part of me. Jason Tatum was talking about how it was nice to be with his kids after rough moments. He said, I've had my ups and downs here, but, you know, because I don't know, there was a picture of him playing with his kid basketball. He was talking about how the other day they lost, but he got home and his kid wanted to play basketball and he remembered that it's not about him and, you know what I mean, there's more to life than the NBA Finals. As soon as I heard there's more to life than the NBA Finals and all that, I'm like, oh, dude, he's already lost. He said, no matter what happens, I know I have my family. That's what he said. And I'm thinking, dude, like... I wouldn't be talking about my family now. I wouldn't be posting pictures of my kid. I wouldn't be talking about this. You know, I saw Andrew Wiggins in an interview today. The guy looked like a prize fighter. Dude was like rocking back and forth, just dialed in. He was just staring at the interviewer. She said, what are you thinking about going into Thursday night? He goes, I'm thinking about telling my daughter that her father's an NBA champion. And he was just, and I was like, nice. Like, if I'm a coach and I walk in the room and I see Wiggins rocking back and forth staring into space, I'm like, that's what I want to see. When I see Steph Curry just today talking about embrace the hate in Boston, he goes, this is what I live for, going in there. He said, it means a lot to our city. It means a lot to a lot of people, this. And he goes, I understand how much this means to everybody. He gets it. They get it. I just, they're on the verge of this. There's nothing against Boston, but they turn the ball over. They don't have a point guard. There's going to be a couple of moments. And not to mention, Steph Curry's a man on a mission after going 0-for-9 the other night. Curry's going to, for the record, it's only happened a couple of times, but every time Curry is not hit a three-point shot in a game, he averages 4.5 three-point shots in this game. I'm buying in. I don't know if I'm selling too much Warrior Kool-Aid here. Matthias, who are you taking tomorrow night? Are you on board? Golden State Warriors finish the series off tomorrow night. Warriors money line. Who you got?
I was with the Celtics, but after what you just said, I'm not vibe right now, Gabe. I think I just...
But what, you feel what I'm talking about? About being dialed in? Like, they're not watching movies. They're just sitting in a hotel waiting to win, Matthias. You know what I mean? Sort of like waiting for a fight. They're just waiting to win. I swear to God. What are you thinking about? I'm thinking about telling my daughter I'm going to be an NBA champion. Steve Kerr after the game. We're going to Boston to finish them off. And Tatum's talking about playing with his kids, and no matter what happens, he always has his family. Whoa, give me the Warriors.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Warriors, too. And I'm ready for Game 6, Clay, Gabe. I'm ready for this special specimen of a human being, Clay Thompson, to come out and show the world what Game 6 Clay is all about. So I'm excited for that game tomorrow, and I'm excited for Clay.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Tomorrow night, Andrew Wiggins puts the explanation point on this. A couple of another big dunks, just that I can see. I'm telling you right now, it's like a movie in my head. I know how it's going to play out. You're going to see there's going to be a time tomorrow. Wiggins going to come in for the dunk, and he's going to put his hands up. He's going to turn around to the Golden State Warrior bench. He's going to have a tear start to come down his eye. He's going to stand there, and he's going to think, oh, my effing God, I'm standing in the Boston Garden, and I'm about to win an NBA title. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Championship week. All right, tomorrow night's a big night. We'll be on after the NBA game, God willing. The powers that be willing. We'll be on after tomorrow night's NBA Finals. Is it the last game of the year? I think it is. Giving you my compelling case here. Like I said, the Golden State Warriors won the last game by double digits. Curry was 0-for-9 from 3. Wiggins was 0-for-6 from 3. Their starters were 0-for-19 from 3-point land, besides Klay Thompson, who hit 5. They shot 22% from 3. They got doubled up at the free throw line, and they got out-rebounded, and they still won the game. It's just a pressure thing. Boston are really good, but they, you know what I mean? They don't deal well in these pressure situations. So, like, if you're Boston, if I was the Celtics organization, I would be stressing to, like, the room. I'd be stressing to everybody. Like, I'd tell the coaching staff. Like, if I was upper management, essentially, Steve, I'd say, listen, you've got to win the first quarter. Like, we've got to come out hot. Like, come out strong. Don't take the pedal off the metal. Like, you know what I mean? If we get up 18-5, like, don't take the pedal off the metal type thing. Try to just smoke them. I really like the Golden State Warriors' attitude. They have the championship pedigree. And I haven't heard one Warrior talk about there's two games left. I haven't heard one Warrior say, wow, there's still a series. Every player to a man that I've seen talk on the Golden State Warriors has all referred to Thursday night as the game. Right? They have it locked in. Like, this is the game. They lost. They've done this before, man. Right? They went on the road. They lost to Cleveland in this spot. They went on the road. They were up 3-2. They lost, and then they went back home, and they lost the series. They lost game six to the Raptors in 2019 on their home court. I think the past failures are driving them. As far as the U.S. Open is concerned, Xander Schauffele and Sam Burns are my two picks. Sean O'Argonauts beat the Montreal Alouettes tomorrow night. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.